Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome, everyone.
When a problem comes along, you must whip it.
Right. Sometimes I whip things when there is no problem.
You know, that's okay, because then they become a problem when you whip them.
And then you whip them more.
We whip it good.
Well, real good.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. That feels like if you take that as a command, it changes the song entirely.
It really does.
Like,
yeah.
You feel like they're trying to cope, but really if you're just like, they're just like telling you, Tim, when a problem comes along, you must whip it.
Oh, all right.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely, Devo, sir.
Will do.
You with your cool plant pot hat things.
Absolutely.
What's with those hats?
They certainly were.
Dan, you know. What's with those hats? Hi, Dan.
I did get an angry phone call from Dan.
I got a nice, polite, I love you, or whatever I told him to say. He just put it in quotes and sent it to me, which
Wonderful.
Was nice.
I got an angry call about my lack of knowing French.
Eh oui, oui. Monsieur Devinzer, you do not know how we speak the French.
And we just lost a few viewers with that one.
That's okay. We only have a few.
If you left, prepare to be whipped.
You must whip it. Yeah, it's a problem. Don't make me come over
That's
there.
That's right. You just created a problem.
You don't create any problems. Because if you somehow get by the whipping, there's still a knife puppy.
There is, yeah.
So, movies.
Yes.
I got two. You got two. I got a weird one at the end, so I don't know how you want to do this.
I feel like we need to let's get weird at the end, so I'll go first.
All right, go ahead.
I have a movie from 1991.
Ooh, okay.
It is The Fisher King.
Okay.
Have you seen this film?
I have not. I kind of remember what
Robin
it is,
Robin Williams.
Though. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jeff Bridges. It's a Terry Gilliam movie.
I love Terry Gilliam.
Oh, my goodness. This is a good one. So I watched this in June 11th, 2021, to be specific. Its runtime is 2 hours and 17 minutes, and it is a drama comedy directed by the aforementioned Terry Gilliam, starring the aforementioned Jeff Bridges, Robin Williams, and we're also going to throw an Amanda Plummer in for making things weird.
Whoa.
Because nobody makes it weirder than Amanda Plummer. Our movie summary for this one, a former radio DJ, suicidally despondent because of a terrible mistake he made, finds redemption in helping a deranged homeless man who was an unwitting victim of that very mistake.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a cool concept. So he essentially tells a person to, like, this is a terrible idea, you need to kill yourself.
And they do.
On the radio, and then they do, and then he kind of, Jeff Bridges is the radio shock jock that does it, and he kind of loses his career.
Okay.
At that point, and he's like just kind of in like the throes of it. He lives with a woman above a video rental store.
Remember
and,
those?
Yeah, that's right. Throwback, 1991.
What's up, 91? And is this a very bearded Robin Williams?
Oh, yes. He's homeless.
Yeah, okay,
he's
I
very
remember.
Homeless in this.
I remember.
Okay. He's also like delusional and thinks he's King Arthur. It's
yeah.
really like wonderfully beautiful and sad. It's really nice, like a very bittersweet in a way only Terry Gilliam can kind of handle that.
That sounds correct.
Yeah, the tone's really interesting and like kind of epic, but like then you pull back the curtain a little bit and you see kind of what's going on and it's not that epic at all. Like he's just so good at this duality of making it beautiful and just kind of depressing all at the same time. He's really a master at it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. This movie, I think, really kind of shows that off a lot. Yeah, it's definitely different. If you're looking for something different, I mean, obviously you go to Terry Gilliam when you're like, even if you're going from Terry Gilliam to Terry Gilliam, you're like, I'm going to watch Time Bandits. Now I'm going to watch 12 Monkeys.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, what has happened? Like, what
but doesn't he
has
have
happened?
Like one or two kids movies? Isn't there like one?
I think there is one. And I know he did the Jabberwocky, which is not a kid's movie. Yeah. And obviously we have like the more famous stuff, which is the Monty Python stuff.
Which
in
is
there.
The best.
It's so good. Like imagine the same dude who did that is doing this like beautiful, heartfelt, like borderline depressing film. And Bridges is great. His relationship with Williams in this is so like, it feels genuine. Like he genuinely feels like he needs to do this. And then he kind of realizes he's doing it for himself to make himself feel better. He's not trying to help Williams. And he has to face that fact in there. And he becomes even more depressed about it. It's so lovely.
I like the layers.
Yeah. It's really deep, really interesting. And it's all entrenched in this Arthurian legend.
That's cool.
It's really good. Like, it's so different and kind of hard to grok that I don't think the average person goes into this with, like, let me check this movie out. I hope I'm going to watch this Bassmasters movie. It's definitely not that.
Hey, Robin Williams, I'm ready to be entertained.
That's right, yeah. And so it's... You know, it's just, it's really a nice, I think it lives up to, and this is a horrible cliche term, yes, but I think this nails it truly, at the time at least. I mean, like we just talk about video rental stores, not so much a thing, but I think it's a really good modern fairy tale.
There it is. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good cliche.
Yeah. It works.
More of those, really.
It'd be nice when we actually, like the instant classic, which is one of my, like one of my buzzwords that I know I'm going to hate a movie when I hear it.
Yeah.
The instant classic. Like, no, wrong. You're wrong.
Screw you guys. You don't know.
Exactly. You don't know nothing. Like, oh my God. All right. Sure.
Anybody ever called a movie an instant classic and you're kind of like, yeah, all right.
No.
Nah, that's wild.
No, it's not okay. I'm sure there is definitely
there's probably one.
Yeah. I'm just going to be hyperbolic about it. Absolutely no way it's ever happened.
There it is.
Come at me.
Yeah. Fight us. We will whip you.
Yeah, that's right. You have a problem now.
Yeah.
IMDb gives this a 7.5 out of 10. Pretty high for them.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes critics. 62 critics went back and reviewed this to 84%.
Nice. That's good for 91.
So this was where I thought things were going to be. The higher critical score, the much lower audience score. And I was pleased to see that the audience, 25,000 plus, went back and reviewed it to 85%.
Nice.
Yeah. I was really impressed with that. I am coming in right in line with every other review and giving it an 8 out of 10. Movie's awesome.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. You're not going to go wrong. And if you're like our age where you're used to like funny Robin Williams,
right,
going back and looking at this like really deep Robin Williams is really something that's worth your time if you haven't.
Yeah, he didn't do it a lot, but whatever he did, it was so good.
His early stuff, like World According to Garp and everything, is will just rip your heart out.
Yeah,
rip your heart out of your chest. And we all know he started with like Mork.
Yeah, man.
But then like going into
this weird thing to start with.
Exactly. And he went into this really heavy stuff and then went into the kids flicks later on. Just amazing. Just, man, rest in peace, Robin Williams.
Oh, I'm sad. Well, don't worry. Every negative emotion has an upside.
Oh, good.
My next movie is called The Upside.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. It's from 2017.
Oh.
I watched it on December 9th. 2021.
Oh.
It's 2 hours and 6 minutes.
Whoa.
And I gotta be honest, I probably missed the first 6 minutes.
Okay.
I walked in, my wife was watching this, and I said, what did I miss of this movie? She goes, I don't know, like 5 minutes. I go, all right, I sat down. This is definitely a wife pick. I would not have picked this.
So, okay.
Comedy drama. It's still pretty good, though.
Mine was a comedy drama.
Comedy drama. I love comedy dramas.
Dramedy.
I want to feel really sad and then go...
How come they're called dramedies and not comeras?
Sounds like, I don't know, man. My camera is flaring up again.
Camera.
When camera, you must whip it. Directed by Neil Berger. We're out of control.
Bum, 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 bum.
Doop, 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 doop. Directed by Neil Berger, starring Kevin Hart, Bryan Cranston, and Nicole Kidman.
I like some of those people.
Just some. Uh-oh.
Some.
Oh, boy. We'll let you at home decide which one you don't like. I have an idea.
Ooh.
We'll talk off air.
Burn in hell, Nicole Kidman.
That's what
I'm just kidding.
Okay. That was my pick, actually. IMDb movie. Wow, I'm going to get through this description. IMDb summary. A comedic look at the relationship between a wealthy man with quadriplegia and an unemployed man with a criminal record who's hired to help him.
Hmm.
Who do you think's which?
I feel like this is Monkey Shines just with a person instead of a helper monkey.
It, I mean, kind of. I guess. Basically, this is a pretty cool movie in the sense that they're like, we're going to take wealthy, disabled white guy, Bryan Cranston, and down on his luck, poor black man, Kevin Hart, and talk about race issues and just why, and put them together and try to get along. And
Nicole Kidman.
And Nicole Kidman's there. Nicole Kidman plays like his assistant, and she's okay. She's not a huge character in this, but when she shows up, she at least adds to it.
Right.
But it's very much like, you know, Kevin Hart made some mistakes. He's separated from his wife. He's just trying to help out his kid. He's just very noble stuff, but like, he's poor and he's black and he's made mistakes in the past. And it's like, they're talking about all the race stuff with
right.
that. And he ends up getting the job with Bryan Cranston. I guess he just was like, I'll give this guy a shot. Why not? Everybody else is kind of not what I want.
He looks like the dad from Malcolm in the Middle.
He looks just like him.
Yeah.
And they should have got Frankie Muniz to do this.
Absolutely should not.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why not? Go for it.
I feel like Frankie Muniz is getting whipped right now.
He's a problem.
He must be whipped.
Yeah.
Dewey wasn't a problem. Anyways.
No, not at all. He was the best part.
This movie's okay. It's just really silly. It's a lot of like Kevin Hart's like, oh, you don't know this thing about black culture? Let me show you. And like they do something that's very urban or something in front of like all these pretentious, stick up their ass white people.
That's interesting.
It's funny, but it gets old.
Right.
It gets old real quick. And like, it's not, and Kevin Hart, like the flip of it is like Kevin Hart doesn't have that hard of a time. Like just mingling with the wealthy white people and not like making a scene. Like he does occasionally, especially at first, but it's like the whole thing is about the race issues and the class issues.
Right.
But ultimately they just get along and it's an okay, kind of happy movie.
It's tough when it's like, and it's hard to talk about these movies and call them like one note, but it is a little one note where it's like, let's get a little deeper. Let's see who these people are truly, not just define them by their roles per the race class divide that you're trying to shine a light on.
Right. And I felt like Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart both did really good dramatic acting in this, but like the movie itself, so boring and dull.
Just didn't give him a lot of meat on the bone.
And I remember when it ended, I looked at my wife and she was just like, oh, fuck this ending. It's like, this is all we get? This is bullshit.
Came up shorter than Hart himself.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it did. No brick oven pizza either.
Oh.
So it's good, but you got to be in the mood for it. And I really think if you just love these kind of dramas, you'll be okay. Because it's kind of more, I don't know. I think it's more drama than comedy.
Makes sense.
IMDb gives it a 7.0.
Wow. Generous.
Uh-huh. The critics over Rotten Tomatoes, 189 of them gave it 43%.
Okay.
The audience,
I've heard of them.
Those guys, they got to be whipped. 2,500 plus, 81%.
Okay.
I gave it a 6. It did what it claimed it was going to do.
That's fair. For you, that's fairly high praise.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's very, well, I think it's easy to get a 6 from me. But
I don't think that's
either,
true.
Either side of it?
That's the best an indie movie can do. Like a low budget B movie.
That's true. And I feel like I painted myself into a corner there because I'm like, every time I see one that I like, I'm like, well, Killer Sofa still got to be that 6.
That's right.
I didn't enjoy this more than Killer Sofa, so 5.5.
That's fair. Did the wife give a score for this?
I forgot to ask her, but judging by how her and I tend to agree all the time, a 6.0, I swear, I don't know why that is. We've just been agreeing left and right. I don't like it. That's a problem.
That's a problem, man. Too agreeable.
That's a problem. I'm coming home, honey.
You're being too agreeable.
The whip. Anyways.
Hi.
What you got?
Cooties. Yeah.
Oh, the movie.
Yeah, the movie.
Oh, all right. That's way better.
I also have this rash I got to talk to you about later.
I've got a cream, but you put it on.
Okay. 2014. I watched this June 14th, 2021. It is 1 hour, 36 minutes. It is a horror comedy. Mm-hmm. There you go. Comedy.
Hey, we love our comedies.
Directed by Carrie Murnion and Jonathan Millott. Starring the Elijah Wood, the Allison Pill, and the Rainn Wilson.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, Allison Pill from Scott Pilgrim. Great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Movie summary. Elementary school teachers come under attack from children who have been turned into vicious monsters by contaminated chicken nuggets.
So good.
That is the premise.
I've seen the trailer for this. I have not seen the movie.
It's written by Lee Whannell, who wrote Saul, did the remake of The Invisible Man. Like, actually, like, good filmmaker. Upgrade, which you know I dig a lot.
Man, early, Upgrade's so good.
Yeah.
That was our first movie, wasn't it?
It's early, yeah. If not in the first episode, yeah.
Rich, you know. Rich is in the background. Rich, talk. Just yell.
Yell.
Perfect.
Perfect, yep.
He does not need to be whipped.
No, he's doing good. So I think this movie is a really solid example of, like, just good enough. Like, this is better than, like, we're just talking about numbers. So this, to me, is better than a 5, but, like, the, like, shining example of just better than a 5.
Sure.
Like, it's not doing anything great. The characters aren't anything to write home about. They're all fairly flat. Elijah Wood's, like, an aspiring writer who's gone back into town for the summer to teach, to kind of work on his epic novel, and Allison Pills' old, like, chase after girl, and it's kind of like in her current love interest is Rainn Wilson, who's like the no-nonsense gym teacher, which is really funny.
That's pretty good for him.
Yeah.
I feel like Elijah Wood always plays like artsy kind of characters.
He does.
And it makes me wonder if he's not at all artsy and it's like a joke to him.
No, he really is. He is
artsy?
Yeah. He's owner of this company called Spectrevision.
Okay.
And they do a bunch of wacky films. You've probably reviewed one or two of them.
The one with the house and the mountain, dad, that one.
Cub the Daddy. Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
Spectrevision, yeah.
There it is.
Yep, that is his company. Okay. So he's into really weird shit, which is awesome because he's into
good
like,
on you.
Yeah, he's into the movies that you want to watch for sure. Yes. So he picks interesting roles. It just felt like this one kind of wasn't a whole, like, they were more interested in the concept of, like, what are cool set pieces we can do with kid zombies that would not be okay to do with normal children than they were okay. making, like, interesting movie in terms of character and development.
Does that get old then?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, there are some funny little set pieces in there, and, like, it gets surprisingly bleak, which I think they were also trying to be, like, how like, and not, like, messed up, but just, like, dark and bleak, like, the world's gonna end because of some chicken nuggets. Because that right. sounds like some bullshit that would happen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that right. kind of, like, you're laughing, you're just like, wait, that's some shit that would actually happen. That's kind of how I feel like the movie is set up to make you feel tonally. So, like, it works. It just doesn't feel like it was going in to hit a solid base hit. It wasn't going in, you know what I mean, swinging for the sure. fences, for your sports ball fans out there.
There it is.
Sports balls.
So, gotta I've heard
hit
of those.
That guy in.
That's so that movie, right? With that's like Star Wars.
It is.
Mel Brooks did it, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, sports ball.
Sports ball.
IMDb, 5.7 out of 10 for this one.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 44 critics gave it 48%. So one critic overcommitted.
Yeah, see that?
Yep. Audience, 5,000 plus gave it 37%.
All right, we're all in that area, I guess.
And I'm coming in right around IMDb here at a 5.5 out of 10.
I had a feeling.
Yeah, it's just good enough. Like, I don't think you're going to be sad you watched it, but I don't think you're going to run out and be like, yo, you have got to watch Cooties.
What a cool sentence.
Yeah.
Yo. Well, time to take us home.
Ooh.
With a comedy.
Ah, of course.
With a comedy fantasy horror.
We've been working towards it.
We have. 2019's Benny Loves You.
I don't know Benny.
No, all right. No. Benny loves you.
I appreciate that.
He does love you. I watched this on December 11th, 2021. It's an hour 34. Again, comedy fantasy horror, directed by Carl Holt, starring Carl Holt, Claire Cartwright, and George Colley.
Cartwright.
Yes, it's very British. Oops, sorry, knife puppy. I kicked her in the butt. IMDb movie summary. Jack, a man desperate to improve his life, throws away his beloved childhood plush, Benny. It's a move that has disastrous consequences when Benny springs to life with deadly intentions.
Interesting.
So it's child's play kind of thing.
Okay.
But it's more like it's like Tickle Me Elmo is what this thing's supposed to be, like okay. the craze.
Yeah.
And it's just a plush with a knife. It looks like a bear dog hybrid thing. It's red. It's very much like this is Elmo. It okay. has an Elmo-y voice.
Right.
It only says like four or five catchphrases the whole movie.
Oh, that's cool.
So the way he interacts with it, he'll say like something, and it can only answer him so many ways. It'll right. be like, Benny loves you. And he's like, no, Benny. And that's it's real. And like the dialogue is really funny because of that.
Yeah.
And like, hug me. He's like, I ain't hugging you.
That's great.
So the thing that makes it a little different is he quickly realizes that Benny is murdering people.
Okay.
And he keeps covering it up. And it's so he's in on it, but he doesn't want it to keep happening.
Right.
So it's a little different take on the same old BS.
Right.
Essentially.
I get you.
It's based on a short that Holt did in 2006. So okay. I don't know why he decided randomly to do it now, but he sure did.
Why not?
Well, that's fair. It's kind of Chucky meets Tickle Me Elmo. Jack being in on the chaos really adds to the comedic kind of stuff that happens later. Like, oh, he complains about his boss. The doll's going to try to murder his boss. He's like, oh, no, don't murder my boss. And, like, he can't convince him.
Right.
So the doll's going to keep trying. Like, things like that.
That's cool.
It's just really, like, I didn't know what to expect from this. The wife picked it. She's like, what the hell is that? We're doing it. And I'm like, are you sure? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. Benny loves you. And they say Benny loves you so many times. Because, again, he only says, like, five things.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, my God, I'm going to hear that in my sleep. Which is terrifying when you think about
That's
it.
That's right.
So the movie is pretty good. The puppet looks like a regular kind of stuffed animal. And, sure. But, like, when it murders people, it's pretty great. It'll slow down. They'll add, like, CGI effects, I guess.
Oh,
to make him maneuver in an interesting yeah. way. It's pretty gruesome and weird, and I like it and I don't all at the same time. I'm
like
just
that.
So confused by what I just watched.
Interesting. Okay.
But I think it's all right.
Sounds like it was effective.
It was exactly that. And it's like, you got to respect that.
Yep. Absolutely.
So IMDb gave it a 5.6 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, 79%, 29 critics.
Wow.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
I guess because it's so exactly what it claims to be.
Yeah.
The audience, 50 plus, 49%.
Okay.
So somebody's slacking there.
Yeah, a little bit.
I gave it a 5.
I like
My
it.
My wife gave it a 5.5. She liked it more than me.
Wow.
She knew that Benny did, in fact, love her.
There's a whole clustering of 5 and 5.5s at the end of this episode.
I know. Wow. So, hey, if you want something that could certainly be on in the background, we've got you covered this
That's
episode.
That's right.
Man, I tell you. But, yeah, Benny loves you, everybody.